We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Monte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Presented by Timeless Coffee.
This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. What a week it's been. What a show it's been here on a Friday. Good morning to everybody out there on the roadways, getting off your graveyard shifts. To everybody on Twitch and YouTube, Roasters, what is happening? Spadoni and Curly and Joe Shasky the Butcher. We're here on the Morning Roast, taking you up until 9 o'clock. And for the first time in the history of the Morning Roast, it is John Lynch of the San Francisco 49ers, the GM of the 49ers, of course, a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by way of Stanford. John, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Bonte. Hey, Joe. How you guys doing?
Oh, man, we're so fired up. It's Cowboy Week. It's Cowboy Week. And you're from... Hey, John, you're from San Diego. You went up to Stanford, and you entered the draft in 1993 at the apex of the Niners-Cowboys rivalry. So before we get to the game and Jimmy and all that good stuff, what was it like being a player coming out of Stanford? You go into the NFL draft, you get drafted by the Bucs, you're like, man, the Cowboys and Niners. What did that mean to you when you entered the league?
Yeah.
Well, it was incredible. You know, I was really hoping I had the great fortune of playing with a bunch of Niner connections up at Stanford. Denny Green, who had been part of the Niner organization, was there my first 3 years, recruited me out of San Diego, and then, you know, Denny decides to leave. I'm playing minor league baseball, and some guy named Bill Walsh calls me up and says, "Hey, I'm your new coach, and I want you to come back and play." And you know, along with Bill came Keena Turner and Billy Ring and Mike Wilson and Guy Benjamin. So there were a lot of Niner ties, and anybody who was a fan of football was a fan of Niners at that time. They were known as the organization that was the most first class, that did it the right way, that was winning championships, and so. You know, everyone knew about the Niners. Everyone knew about the Cowboys. And to be honest with you, I was a little bummed because I was going to Tampa. That was the worst organization in all of sport at the time. And, you know, once I got there, I took on the challenge of, hey, you know, let's turn this thing around. And fortunately, a couple years later, a couple guys named Sapp and Brooks came in to help me and the rest of the guys out, and we were able to come full circle. But it was everyone who was a fan of football was a fan of those kind of rivalries, and that was it. You know, kind of when I entered the league.
You know how excited I got when you said Mike Wilson and Bill Ring? And I mean, geez, we're getting so fired up. And that's old school San Francisco 49er football. And that game on Sunday, I mean, it's been a roller coaster year for the team, for the organization, for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I get to what he did in that game and the decision for you guys to go to Jimmy Garoppolo in that game. Is that you? Is that Kyle? Are you guys working with Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, how do you even decide that he's going to play in that game? And then you stick with him even though you're down 17-0. Like, take us through how you guys come to that decision.
Yeah, that's ultimately Kyle's decision. Now, you know, I'm always humbled and thankful and grateful that when we decided to do this, we decided to do it together. And I think he likes my perspective. I think he relies on it. And so we're always talking. As I recall, I think Tuesday of that game, you know, we had had a lot of discussions. And I was offside attending to some things, and Kyle just called me and he said, "Hey man, I had Jimmy in my office. I told him I want you to go outside with the trainers and your quarterback coach, Rich Scangarello." And you know, Kyle told me, he said, you know, I told him I wasn't going to go watch, but I eventually gave in and went out there, and I want you to go throw, because we were told by the doctors, you know, our doc and then the specialist, Dr. Shin down in L.A., kind of there's always a guru for every part of the body. Well, he's the guy right now. And he said, listen, it's purely, you know, pain tolerance, number one, and this is a painful thing. And then number two, it's how can he function? And so, provided those two things, he's clear in everyone's mind. So we were comfortable with that, but it's a tough deal to throw the ball with. And so, long story short, Kyle told Jimmy, "Hey, I want you to go out there. I want you to test it. If you're ready, you come back and tell me it's, you know, I'm ready, Kyle, and it's your game." And that's exactly what happened. Jimmy went out and did that. You know, you still want to kind of you know, what is the old saying? Trust and verify. And so we trusted Jimmy, but then you want to see it in practice, and it looked really good in practice. And you know, and then, you know, I really commend Kyle. I commend our guys for the fortitude to kind of stay with who we are in that game. I think it was so essential that we scored those 3 points before before the half, knowing that we had deferred to start the game. So you get the ball coming out of the half. And I really believe that allowed us to stay with who we were and our game plan. And thought it was a masterful job by our coach and staff and our players just to have the strength and belief to overcome down there. And we were buoyed by, you know, fans who stuck with us the entire game, man. They had really taken over SoFi Stadium. You could see the red all over, and they never wavered. You know, they were right there with us, and it was ugly at first, and fortunately they stayed with us, our guys stayed with it, and the rest is history.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer John Lynch, the GM of the San Francisco 49ers, as they get ready to play the Cowboys in a wild card game on Sunday. Kickoff at 1:30 down at Jerry's World. The former Buccaneer won a Super Bowl, of course. And, you know, John, you talk about that game. You guys come out of halftime, you score, you get the ball back, you run the ball 10 straight times. Debo throws the touchdown to Juwan Jennings to tie the game. Just, it was crazy. And then, I don't know if you heard Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly. She was saying, "I've never seen it before. We had to use a silent count. We had to use a silent count." Is that one thing that has kind of surprised you with this 49ers fan base, that at how well they travel? You know, you came here, you said brick by brick, brick by brick, and 49er fans have bought into that. But have you been surprised at how well Niner fans travel to other cities?
It's unbelievable. It's blown my mind. You know, I was a part of an organization at the end of my career in the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos really had a regional fan base. I think you credit John Elway and some of those, their success in the 80s and into the 90s, where they were winning Super Bowls. And so I thought that was this kind of, you know, we'd go to San Diego, my hometown, and the Bronco fans would be all over. Man, I was blown away when I got here. The reach of the Niners, and you know, you credit all those legends, the Bill Walshes, the Joe Montanas, the Ronnie Lotts and Keena Turners, and all the guys for building what they build. And I think it, you know, back then, I'm 50, so you know, I was growing up then. You know, everybody watched the same games, and it was usually watching Madden and Summerall, and they were calling the games. And yep. So you know, when people say why are there fans all over, I think that's why. It was a team people could identify with. They had a style to them. There was a brotherhood. They were known for doing things the right way. But man, it is unbelievable. Wherever we go, the Midwest, the East, the Southeast, it's wherever we go, our guys show up, and the faithful shows up, and it's an awesome sight. I love going around and asking these people, like, where are you from and why are you a Niner fan? And they all have a story, and it's fascinating to me.
You know, Shasky brought up the roller coaster of a season, right? And we've been here on the morning radio. We're diehard Niner fans. We grew up here, John, and we've had a roller coaster of a season. We've been on, we've been off, we've been going crazy. And you guys were 3-5 after losing to Arizona at home. 3-5, they come in with Colt McCoy. And I think that's has been as down as this fan base has been on you guys. And you guys rolled a 7-9, winning 7 of your last 9. Take us behind the scenes of what this season has been like. You know, you had the Trey Jimmy aspect. You had Kyle on the sideline trying to manage the quarterback situation. You guys have had injuries. You know, COVID-19 has been a monster this season. Take us behind the scenes, because I feel like a microcosm of the season was watching you in the suite at SoFi Stadium watching the Saints-Falcons game while you guys are losing 17-0.
Oh man, that was brutal. I worked with a lot of those people at Fox, and you know, most places we are that we have a TV in front of us, so you can, like, you know, people will say, "Hey, John, you're on TV. You know, give me a heads up so you're not picking your nose or you know, you're not doing something." Well, this week the TV was behind me, so I had no clue that the TV was on me the entire time. Otherwise, I would have been a little more composed. But what the heck, you know, kind of got riding with the faithful. I think they inspired me just to let it go. But this season, you're absolutely right. It was, you know, I think you're exactly right in that last week's game was kind of a microcosm of our season. And, you know, what I'm so proud is that this league is not easy. And we had high hopes, and I think rightly so. We have a very capable roster. We've got star players. We've got role players. But this league is tough, and you're right, you know, 3-5 was the low point. I will say, I think the week before in Chicago, I think we kind of found our groove, and that's why it was so surprising coming back and playing Arizona and just laying a massive egg, because I thought we had kind of found who we were, and to get beat by Colt McCoy and all that, you know, by that team that badly in our own home place, and it had been a long time since we'd won a home game, that was low. But you know, I think you just speak to leadership throughout an organization, and you know, I think our players first and foremost deserve the credit. They stuck together. They knew we were getting some people back health wise, and that was going to help us. They also knew that players and things that weren't working, you know, the emergence of Brandon Ayuk, the selflessness of like an Eric Armstead, you know, who's a defensive end who would go down in nickel situations to go full time because Javon Kinlaw had been injured. You know, that's a selfless thing to do. And when you have people that are willing to have their teammates' backs and do things that maybe aren't in their best interest or they feel like at the time, but they say, you know what, for the team, I'll do that. I think those are, you know, those were things that were huge to me. You know, there was the issue of a couple quarterbacks, but that's one thing we knew going in. We were going to have a strength in quarterback room, and we knew that we could win with either guy. We had a ton of belief in Jimmy. Jimmy was hurt early. Trey comes in, and unfortunately, he got nicked in both his starts. But then we found our rhythm, and now it's been kind of an avalanche of momentum, and it hasn't been perfect. But we are capable of playing with and beating anyone when we're on our game, and now it's playoff time. You better be on your game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We got 49er GM John Lynch with us right now on the Morning Roast. You bring up the quarterback room and Trey, Jimmy. I mean, me and Bonte are ready to strangle each other every day talking about Jimmy and Trey for the last almost close to a year now. And I'm sure fan base in general is losing their minds. But Jimmy Garoppolo had, I thought, his finest moment in a 49er uniform down in SoFi Stadium. You've seen a lot of games. You've watched a lot of them. It's been an up and down year for the team, the quarterback, just the oscillating between the two players. How good did that feel for Jimmy on a personal level when you've been talking about, I'm going to give you a chance to compete since day one, since you guys made that trade, for him to have that moment in that second half and into overtime to do that? How good did you feel for him on a personal level?
Oh, man, he's so easy to love. And, you know, when we got him, that was the thing that we always spoke of, that he's not a typical quarterback. You know, you find him all the time sitting with, you know, well, we used to be able to sit before COVID with other people and eat, you know, and but he would always sit with the practice squad offensive linemen, you know, like he's one of, even though he's not, because the quarterback is never just one of the guys in a building, he really is just one of the guys. I think it's like the Midwest values, the way he was raised. His teammates love him. They love him for his grit. You know, I think the fact that he even lined up last week, a lot of people wouldn't have done that at that position. So I thought it was incredibly tough. But Jimmy's clutch, too. You know, in the big moments, after, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. and you're going to make mistakes, but I think his ability to bounce back, and then I don't think he ever gets the credit. Kyle's talked about it, you know, for how talented of a thrower that he is. And, you know, the coolest thing is to see the belief his teammates have in him, and he's earned that. And so to see him go out there on that, and we don't win that game without him. We're all aware of that. And the cool thing for me is that both things can be true. Trey played excellent and grew up right before our eyes the week before against the Texans. The first half wasn't great. He was kind of finding himself. That second half, that was some big-time football. And so we would have been comfortable going for him, but we felt Jimmy had earned the opportunity, that was our best chance, our best situation. That's the one thing with Kyle. There's never any gray. He makes a decision, and bam, we go. And so, I couldn't have been more happy for Jimmy and for all of his teammates. And these guys are excited. They're well prepared. We've had a tremendous week of practice, and we'll finish that, throughout the weekend. But today, finish a Friday, which is always a fun day around here, kind of wrapping up the details, and then we'll get on a plane and go to Dallas and the calm before the storm.
Oh, we cannot wait. Cowboys Niners this Sunday, talking to GM John Lynch. John, I'm just looking at the team that you've assembled, right? And you're not going to bat 1,000 in the draft every year, but man, that 2019 draft with Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa, I mean, talk about football players. I mean, you were a football player, could play in any era. These dudes are unbelievable. Bosa, put him to the side for a second. Deebo Samuel is such a unique player. You got him at running back. You got him as a ridiculous wideout, catching 18 yards per reception. He's an absolute game changer. Is he better than you had ever anticipated? Because I can't believe the way Kyle's using him, and he's just so explosive and so fresh. No one can tackle him on the outside. He's still making plays down field. He's just been a monster for you guys this year.
He is, and yes, he is better than we ever could have expected. We had high hopes. We really identified him, and I've talked a lot about it. We had the benefit. I don't recommend it because it means you had a lousy season the year before, but we had the benefit of coaching the Senior Bowl, and Deebo Samuel was on our team. And, you know, the cool thing, I remember being in the, you're always – before the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy is like the president. He runs the Senior Bowl, and you're not really supposed to, but you can kind of make a couple requests. You help Jim throughout the year on identifying guys that should be in his game. And I said, Jim, there's a few players. It was Adam Peters and I in my office. And Jim, there's a couple players we want. Deebo Samuel's one. We want the opportunity to coach him. Can you put him on our – and, you know, there's always the other GM probably wanted him too, but there's trading going on, and you kind of have to prioritize. And he was at the top of our list. And, man, that week just solidified – that if we had the opportunity, we'd go get him, because in addition to the skill set, there was this just kind of infectious personality that the guy was always smiling, but yet he was all ball. And then as for the talent, you know, it's funny what makes up genius, and Kyle is because the way and his staff, for the way they're utilizing him. But I chuckle because we used to say in the draft process, you know, once he gets the ball in his hands, he's like a running back. Well, never did it dawn upon us, put him at running back. You know, it was, but you know, you start giving him reverses and then, you know, you kind of morph into this, but it presents legitimate challenges. I think of it from a defensive, you know, if you've got a DB covering him, a nickel covering him, well, and all of a sudden he's in the backfield. Now that nickel's in the box playing linebacker, it's just a ton of challenges. Where is he going to line up? And then that's just before the snap. And then once the ball's snapped, good luck tackling him one-on-one or, yeah, or two-on-one. I mean, he's a fabulous player. He's in his own way, very much a leader of this team. And man, he's dependable. He loves the big moments too. You know, like that pass on Miller, rushing him. And I'll tell you, in practice, it wasn't real pretty him throwing those last week. I don't know about this play, but you talk about some guys just rise to, you know, when it matters most, they bring out their best. And that was the best throw he threw all week, and he threw it like a fadeaway, getting bum rushed. You know,
and Juwan Jennings, it was such a good pass. Juwan Jennings almost dropped it. He bobbled it around there after you guys ran it straight time. So John Lynch, the Hall of Famer here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 a game. Trey Lance, how would you assess his rookie season?
I think it's been awesome, you know, and a lot of people I'm sure think, man, this guy's crazy. What do you mean he hasn't played that much, you know? But we had a plan for Trey, and I think the plan was to take it week by week, and we just wanted to see constant growth and development. And the thing I'll tell you about Trey, we're more excited about him today than when we drafted him, and that's because the amount of horsepower he has. And when you're trying to find a franchise quarterback, you're looking at everything. You're looking at the competitive greatness that I was talking about when the moment's big, how are they going to respond? You're talking about the physical traits and tools. He's got all of those. The mental capacity, you know, Kyle's going to challenge a quarterback and any player for that matter. Can he handle that? Absolutely. You check that box. And then, you know, a lot of it's just experience. And you know, the best way to get that's on the field. But we also had a team capable. So we were going to make the best decision. So we've been very creative and as to how we try to further that growth without him playing game reps. And I've seen him get better right before our eyes. And he's also got, you know, that quality of like Jimmy. He's just a guy that people love and like, and his teammates have that respect for him. And it's been awesome to watch Jimmy and Trey, you know, develop their relationship and be, you know, and I give Jimmy all the credit for that, because it'd been easy to say, hey, get out of my room. Instead, he's done nothing but help the kid, and it's been awesome. And I think that's kind of representative of the feel that this team has for each other. We all have each other's backs, and that's what makes you feel so confident going into this playoff run. We got to go do it, and we got a huge challenge with the Cowboys. They're very talented, and then you know, really good team that presents a lot of challenges. So we know we have our work cut out, but we are extremely confident.
John, why do you think Jimmy doesn't get respected around the league? Like, a lot of people look at Jimmy and they look at the build. He doesn't throw the ball deep, and there's all these little complaints about Jimmy Garoppolo. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know that. I think even smart football people, and I don't blame them. You know, when we're in the playoff run in 19, you know, and I think versus Green Bay we threw it 9 times. Or, you know, maybe that was Minnesota. You know, I think people take that as Kyle doesn't trust him. No, we're just imposing our will running the ball. So why wouldn't you? You know, and thing I love about Jimmy is he don't really care about that. He's a former linebacker, and I think some of that mentality stays in there. He just wants to win, and I truly mean that. Sometimes people say that, and I'm sure he'd love to have 320 yards like he did this last week every game. But Jimmy just does, you know, and I think maybe that our style or whatever leads to that. And then, I don't know, sometimes people are jealous when you're good-looking, when you got the world by the you-know-what. You know? people say, man, this guy's too perfect. I don't, you know, but I don't know what the reason is, because if people knew him, I mean, he's about as easy a guy to like as you'll ever find.
Yeah.
Even when I screwed up and unknowingly, you know, liked the tweet, you know, I call him. He's like, John, you don't need to call me. I know who you are. You know, I know your heart. you know, that's who the guy is.
John, my wife would have killed me if I was on my phone during church. I'm going to keep it 100 right, with you. Yeah. You know, she'd have been all over me. She steals my phone for dinner. I mean, for crying out loud.
We're not allowed to use phones at dinner, John.
Let me give you a little context, because I have gotten heat from my parents for that one. It's Christmas Eve Mass, so you got to arrive early to get a seat. So we were there at like for a 4 o'clock Mass at like 3. And then I'm sitting there and, all right, let's see what's going on in the football world. And, that's all I'll say about that. We've got other things to worry about.
Don't look at your mentions. Mute, mute, mute. That's what we do on this show, man, John. It's all good. Hey, D'Amico Ryans, man, I judge a person on how they act when adversity hits them. I mean, you lose your starting corner. You lose Dee Ford. You lose Javon Kinlaw. The linebacker situation has been, you know, who's healthy? Like, that's who we're going to play this week. And you just get nothing but unbelievable production. Arden Key, what a great signing this was. Nick Bosa has been a monster. They're leading the league in double teams. Still got 18-some-odd sacks. And Eric Armstead playing at a high level. Jimmy Ward. Like, I'm looking at what you guys have done on the defensive side of the ball and the growth of D'Amico Ryans and the ability to find a guy who's never been a coordinator. I'm just so impressed with the defensive side of the ball. We never talk about it, and here you guys are, top 10 again this year. It's been an unreal year on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and D'Amico has done such a great job. You know, and you talk about all those things. You know, how about losing your number one corner on in week one,
yep.
and then your number two corner, Emmanuel Mosley, hasn't played most of the year, you know, because of various injuries. And so for him to overcome that and the poise, and, you know, D'Amico is one of those demeanors. You know, he was always a captain when he played, and he's not a really loud guy. He's the words he speaks carry a lot of weight. Because, first of all, there's an intensity, there's a respect that he's earned from everyone. And he's a man of few words, but his words are very poignant. And, he just exudes leadership. He's got a little of intimidation because he's a big man. He looks like he could still play.
Yeah,
you know, I think half the guys are afraid of him, and but they all love him and respect him. And he's one of the, you know, I keep saying this, but, like, he really is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. But he doesn't blink in the face of adversity, and he has just been incredible. Kyle, I think, had coached down in Houston, knew of D'Amico, and so when we put together our first staff, you know, he was the choice at linebacker coach. And early on, we identified, hey, you know, when we started having success, hey, Saleh is not going to be here forever. Who's next in line? And D'Amico was an easy choice because he's just got so much to him and so many great qualities, but you still don't know until he actually has that opportunity. And he's been just tremendous. And, you know, as for, you know, opportunities in the future, we're going to enjoy them while we have them. Because
I was going to say, John, get the wallet out. Get the wallet out, man. Let's get this guy right now. We don't want to see him leave, man. He's been great for you guys.
Yeah, we'll keep him here as long as we can, but, you know, you can't stop a guy if he's got head coaches opportunities, nor would you want to. And
no doubt.
I know that's in his future, and someone would be making a really wise choice. So, but the cool thing about D'Amico, he's just laser focused on the task at hand. And right now, that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, we can't wait for Sunday. John, this was a lot of fun. We could talk to you until the rest of the show, man. You're
come
a great
on
talker.
Back, man.
We'll have you back on if you have the time for us, man. I'm flying down to Dallas. I can't wait to go to Jerry's World to see this playoff game. Niners, Cowboys, Shasky's a big-time Niner fan. This was a lot of fun, man, talking about the 49ers. You guys make the playoffs. It was a lot of up and downs, but, man, you guys are playing a wild card weekend. It must feel great.
Yeah, we're in the tournament, and that's where you want to be. And we're just looking forward to a great game on Sunday with a lot of the faithful down there. So safe travels to everybody, and go Niners.
Hey, John, safe travels to you as well.
Yeah, thank you for your time, and on behalf of Niner fans, thank you for all these memories these last couple of years. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime.
Awesome. Awesome.
Anytime. Hall of Famer.
Awesome.
And GM of the 49ers, John Lynch, here on the Morning Roast. We got to run. We got to get to Everson Walls. What a fun 25-minute interview. Download the Odyssey app right now to replay that bad boy. John Lynch making his debut on the Morning Roast. And Shasky, he's officially a roaster. John Lynch is officially a roaster. What's coming up on the game, brought to you by Extra Jig Corporation, Everson Walls.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Vontae and Shasky.
What a week it has been here on the Morning Roast. Look, we know the Warriors got blown out in Milwaukee last night. We're just going to ignore that one. We're going to just, you know what, burn the tape. We know the Warriors play the Bulls tonight, but burn the tape from last night. We're 2 days away
what
from Niners and
this?
Cowboys.
1986, there ain't no tape. It's all digital, dog.
Well, burn the digital tape. Delete the digital off the space. Clean up your data.
Hey,
clean it up.
If you missed John Lynch, we just had John Lynch on. Go onto the Odyssey app right now. Download it onto your phone, Android, whatever you got,
right.
iPhone. You can go back and listen to it. It started at 8 o'clock today. If not, maybe you missed it, you can go to our YouTube page. It'll be posted up there. You can scroll back live. You can also go to our Twitch page, search 957 The Game. John Lynch, GM of the 49ers, 30 minutes of football gold.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. And in 20 minutes, don't forget, we have the flex moment of the day, the Xfinity flex moment of the show. Stay tuned to find out what we pick as the flex moment of the Morning Roast today on a Friday. That is coming up in actually 15 minutes, the Xfinity flex moment of the show. John Lynch, what's the biggest takeaway you have from John Lynch? There's a few here with me, and I'll start it. He thought the team got rolling in Chicago. Remember the night before in Chicago, he gave the pregame speech. Nick Bosa admitted it after the game, like John Lynch talked to us Saturday night. They had a big win in Chicago. Then he said the lowest point was that Arizona game, and he was just shocked at how they laid an egg. But he said nobody flinched. Nobody flinched inside that organization. And I thought that was real interesting as the Jackals, as Guru like to say, like you and I and everybody, oh, man, bitch Jimmy, oh, man, Shanahan this and Shanahan that. They really rectified their season and won 7-9.
Yeah, and then him saying that Trey Lance's season has been a success, that he's got nicked in both games, I was like, oh, did he get hurt in the Texas Houston Texans game? Maybe I didn't see that. The other thing is that talking about the unwavering belief between him and Kyle Shanahan when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think we've all speculated, oh, Kyle and Jimmy, and like there's levels to relationships and things like that. And I think them reacting during the game, like, hey, we still got faith in Jimmy, and the fan base is losing their minds. Go to Trey Lance. Like, that was interesting to me. And then D'Amico Ryans, how they identified him 3 years ago.
No doubt. You heard the rumors about D'Amico Ryans a couple years ago. There's no doubt he was on spot on with that one. And also the whole Green Bay game where they threw the ball 8 times. And, hey, we just wanted to impose our will. I did, because that's football.
Yeah.
That's football. Let's go to Everson Walls. He knows a lot about football. He won a championship with the New York Giants. I don't want to bring up that NFC championship game. I don't want to bring up Matt Barr. So instead, we're going to bring up the catch, which happened, you know, 40 years ago last Monday, Everson. We'll start there. We're not going to talk about 1990 and Roger Craig fumble. No. You're in San Francisco. We're talking about the catch, Everson. Good morning.
Hey, I love your honesty, man. I love it.
Hey,
you know, you can be crass. This your show. You can be crass all you want. I love that, man. You don't want to hear about any good cowboy stuff, no good giant stuff. Let's go straight to.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know what, Everson, that we could start there with the NFC Championship game when you're a New York Giant. That one, I still watch that game over to this day. I was 8 years old when that game happened, all right? 8 years old. I happened to stumble into it a couple of weeks ago, and I ended up watching the whole game just because I remember crying as a baby when Matt Barr kicked that field goal. I'm thinking, the Niners are supposed to three-peat. How do we let Big Blue come in? And you guys had that iconic regular season game that year where you won 7-3 on Monday Night, or the Niners won 7-3 on Monday Night Football, and Phil Simms is barking at Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott's barking at him. So we could start there. That's one of the honestly, Everson, being a Niner fan, that's one of the most iconic football games I've ever watched. It was an absolute bloodbath.
Craig fumble.
I tell you what's crazy. You know, I played with the Cowboys, of course, and the Cowboys 49ers. That, you know, that rivalry started really in 1982. Well, really it started in 81 when they trounced us during the regular season, if you recall.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think that, well, you guys weren't even born yet. Were you born yet, Seth? Because you said
we were born in 82, but we know the history. Okay. You guys lost. You guys got smoked. After running up the score the year before. You ran up the score the year before. You got smoked.
I'm going to take you back to a beautiful day, 1981. Came to San Francisco. You know, we're the big dogs, man. We're the Cowboys coming in. These young pups, man. You had a Joe Montana, I think, had been in the league for like 3 years. I think Dwight might have come in maybe a year after that. I'm not sure. But then here comes these young studs from the class of 81. You had Eric and you had Dwight. I'm not Dwight, but you had Eric, Ronnie, and then you had Carlton. Dwight Hicks was already there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nobody was thinking about these guys. Like, they're young up-and-comers. Let's go out here and spank these young kids right quick as Cowboys, right? Man, they killed us. It was like 45-17. and y'all's number one secret, your secret weapon, was that crappy field that you had.
Candlestick?
Hey, it was crappy. That's not my gonna lie. That's our crappy. That's our crappy that's palace. That's our crappy palace you're talking about, Everson.
I ran a 4.7 coming out of college. I ran a 5 flat that day.
How many times did you have to change your cleats?
We didn't change it once. We didn't bring any change of cleats. The equipment manager got trounced during that entire week because it's like, how could you not bring extra cleats? And they didn't bring enough when they did. So then we came back the next day, the next game, championship 1982. Man, our cleats were so long, I think they were like an inch and a half. I don't think I could even run then because the cleats were too long then. But that's the kind of – that was you guys' secret weapon. So, no, you guys really arrived to me during that regular season confrontation because that's when everybody was like, whoa, these kids are good. And like I said, it wasn't just the offense. That secondary, I've always said about the 49ers defense, those were the real studs of that team.
Yeah.
You know, you got Bill Walsh, you know, genius. You've got Joe and Dwight. You've got Freddie, you know, Roger. But it was that secondary. It was the Tina Turners, those guys. Of course, Fred Dean. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, Fred Dean. So you just had a team that was built up. How do you in the streets they say on the slick, right? On the slick, because no one saw it coming,
yeah.
And that to me that was the coming out really, not in the 82 championship game, but it was back in I think it was back in October. That's when you guys were really to me came on the scene.
Well, I want to get into the catch itself and kind of all the stuff that happened afterwards because Dwight's no longer with us anymore, but you are a great player. And I don't think a lot of the young people understand. They see the iconic still photo. They see the NFL films, and they see Dwight coming up and making that catch. I mean, I've learned a lot about the history of you playing the position. Belichick hypes you up like crazy when you came over to the Giants, but you led the league in interceptions 3 times. You were a first-team All-Pro 3 straight years. Like, it must be difficult for you to be like, hey, man, I was a ball player. I'm not just some scrub that was part of some, you know, iconic play in NFL history. That must be hard to deal with on a daily basis. Right, Everson?
Well, I must say this, and it's so funny you bring it up. You know, I made the Pro Bowl that year, of course, and, you know, after the game, but man, that was my just we were brokenhearted. But, you know, at that time, the Cowboys were going to the Super Bowl a lot. And I was very naive as a kid because I was a Cowboys fan. I was born in Dallas.
Wow.
I lived right down the street from the practice field, guys.
Wow.
I could wake up at 9:45 and make it there before the meeting started. You understand? I mean, it was home. I was living with my mom, dude. I was living with my mother.
Okay? That's crazy.
Guys were going to strip joints after practice. I was going home to get my lasagna from my mom. So that was my life. So then, you know, here we have everyone after the Pro Bowl. It was just a dream season, except for, of course, that game. It was a dream season for me. I was undrafted, and here I am in the big time and on this stage. And of course, when the lights got bright, everyone saw Dwight jumping over, right? And so I didn't think as much of it. Of course, I was heartbroken. But after I came back from the Pro Bowl, you know, much love at the Pro Bowl. I mean, some of the veterans were like, man, this young kid here, undrafted, go get your money. I had so many mentors at the Pro Bowl after that. It's ridiculous. It had nothing to do with the San Francisco game. Then all of a sudden I get back to Dallas, and, man, the carpet was waiting on me. But it wasn't a red carpet of welcome. It was a carpet of blood.
Wow.
Right? People were out for my blood. They were talking about I lost the game, and no one knew about any of the plays I made. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I learned back in college, man, if you just play your butt off and you do the best you can, and you can show it on video, you can show it on the paperwork, you know, show the numbers, then you're going to get the credit you deserve. You're not going to get blamed for the game. Well, welcome to the NFL and welcome to Dallas Cowboys, young man, because that's not how they do it in Dallas. No coach falls on his sword in Dallas, okay? No organization says, hey, you know, we don't regret putting in that undrafted free agent because this guy balled out all year long. No, that was not the Cowboy way at that time. So I had to start speaking up for myself. And, you know, I'm not necessarily humble, but you don't like to go around sticking your chest out when you got your ass kicked, right? But I had to, guys. I had to. I mean, no one was speaking for me. Everything was just about what I didn't do in that game. And so I'm the one, because you talked about my stats that game, I am the one that had to create that narrative because I got tired of people throwing me to the wolves.
Wow.
So then no one knew, no one even mentioned my plays during the game. No one even knows, forget the two, I mean, they knew about the two interceptions. They could ignore that. I even had a fumble recovery that game.
Yeah, and I just turned it over six times.
Six times. I'm glad you said that. I did not know until 2 days ago. 2 days ago. Not 2 decades. Not 2 years. 2 days ago that we actually had six turnovers that game. Wow. I thought we had like four. You know, I didn't know we had six. So you're telling me that we can go to San Francisco, play this great team to end up win the championship, win the Super Bowl. We get six turnovers against Joe Montana, Bill Walsh offense, right? And no one mentions the fact that we still lose the game with those six turnovers. No, no, no. We don't mention that. Let's just throw this picture up here and throw my boy to the wolves. And it was easy for him to do that because I was undrafted free agent. They can say, well, that's what happens with undrafted free agent, right? So that's what I had to deal with, and if it wasn't for me, God, I had to damn near blow a horn to let people realize just, you know, the plays that were made in that game. Yes, the play was my fault. There's no doubt about it. I don't have to throw myself on the sword. You know, it's there. It's iconic. But dang, give a brother a break. You know, I thought it was a great matchup. I thought they were going to go out and say, this young man from Grambling State University, he was able to go tit for tat with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. Blah, blah. No, that was not the case at all.
Wow. You're a three-time first-team All-Pro in the NFL, four-time Pro Bowler, and you led the league in interceptions in 1981, 82, and 85. We're talking to Everson Walls, who was on the wrong end of the catch in the 82 NFC Championship game. Look, I know that picture. It sounds like that picture haunts you, but I want to go back to something that you said that, you know, everybody in Dallas basically made you fall on the sword. You had to stick up for yourself. How did
Danny
that feel
White?
Going back? How did that feel going back to Dallas and playing? Because you guys ended up going back to the NFC Championship against Washington under Tom Landry. Then there were some dark years there in the mid-80s for the Cowboys. Did you feel like the organization loved you after that?
Well, I tell you, even it's funny you mentioned 1982 going back to the championship game, and I have to create all these narratives here because, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, that catch was the beginning of the end for the Dallas Cowboys domination in the NFL, and I'm thinking to myself, didn't we go back to the championship again that next year?
Yep.
You know, so the narrative was always written to where It made things overly dramatic. I get it, man. You guys know how to write. You guys are wordsmiths and all of that. And, you know, you're very good at putting words together and making stories sound good. But if it's bullshit, it's bullshit. I mean, that's just all it is. You can't say that's the end of the dynasty if we're right back that next year in the championship game with a chance to go back to the Super Bowl. Go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it things just start to ring so untrue to where it became this. I don't know. It was like whack-a-mole. I had to keep knocking down all of these falsehoods about that play and how it affected my career and even the Dallas Cowboys' eventual reign in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Everson, I appreciate everything that you're saying today. Well, we love that you're leaning into all this. I read the book years ago, but The Catch, it's a book about the two dynasties, you know, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and all the fallout, you know, throughout the
80s. Who wrote that?
Gary something or other. I can't remember. But in there, I read this article about, you and Dwight Clark and the friendship that emerged from this particular play. And I read a bunch of different things in the local newspapers about, you know, when Dwight was passing away, you guys had a legitimate friendship. Can you just, you know, for our audience that doesn't know the story, explain how you and Dwight became friends and what he meant to you? Because he's no longer with us, and he's an iconic player, and people loved him. I mean, he's the guy you could reach out and party with and hang with, and he was dating Miss Universe. So take us through your guys' relationship.
Man, Dwight was always so cool from the get, really. I tell people about 1985. I had led the league in interceptions for the third time, and I was at the, you know what, no, I think it was 19, following the 1982 season, I had led it for the second time, and Dwight, we're at a Players Association event that celebrated the leaders in each category. So Dwight had led the league in receptions, and I led the league again in interceptions. And I didn't know he was going to be there. I was there with my mom and my girlfriend at the time, who is my wife right now. And so we're just standing there, you know, I think I'm pointing people out because, you know, my mom kind of remembers some of the older guys, and my wife was learning all the younger guys that were coming up with me. And here comes this tall white dude. He kind of almost stumbles into us with a drink in his hand. And he's like, you know, you know, everybody liked him. He's pleasant as hell, and he's a handsome guy. He was just handsome. And so, you know, no one was complaining that he busted into our conversation. And he just goes, "Hey, Everson, hey, did you get your money?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Guys, by the way, this is Dwight Clark." And so my mom's looking at him like, "Oh, okay, this is a name I've been hearing all this time. It's been identifying my son." And so he steps in and he starts telling me about how Kodak has paid him money for this and that. And all he had to do was say, "Hey, Joe threw the pass." And they wrote Joe a $5,000 check on the spot.
Wow.
I'm like, "Wait a minute, Kodak throwing out money like that, right?" So, I'm like, "All right, I've been getting vilified for like 9 months here, maybe like 15 months or something like that. All I can see is all I can see and hear is Barbra Streisand singing 'The Way We Were.'" And I don't know if you guys remember that commercial, but Dwight Clark catch the ball in slow motion.
Yes.
And it's all behind Barbra Streisand's 'The Way We Were.' And that's Kodak's commercial. It was beautiful commercial, by the way. And I'm thinking to myself, "Damn, I wish I was on the other end of that," you know? And so I'm like, "Okay, let me call my lawyer." You know, call my lawyer. He calls them. They screw over us. And next, you know, that's all an attorney wants to hear is the word no.
Right.
So we just go at them. And, but eventually, I appreciated Dwight for all of
right.
that. He did not have to come, because Joe wasn't going to come up to me and let me know if he got paid for that.
Hell no, nah, he wasn't.
He came up to me. I didn't even know Dwight at the time. Okay? We hadn't even been properly introduced, except for me looking at his ass in my face on that play. So, you know, that was 1982. We really didn't get to be friends, or at least talk again until we retired, right? Until we retired. And that's when, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but he was starting to feel some things. But it was about 4 years before he had passed on that we had started making a lot of money together on the catch. I mean, we raked it in. So, if you know, after a while, I'm kind of warming up to the catch thing, right? It's pretty good for me. Next thing you know, I'm getting checked here, getting checked there, and I'm getting to meet Dwight, and we talk about it, and, you know, we got to sit there, and I always joke with him, because all I had to do was sign the picture, right?
Right.
Dwight had to draw the damn formation, guys. I had to sit here and watch him draw the formation and draw the play action and everything.
Oh, man.
Before I signed it. So, you know, God, I had to sit there all that time. I might as well get to know the guy, right? So, that's how we got to know each other, man. We just talked over and over. You know, he got a bead on an appearance. I'd get in the bead on an appearance, and we end up doing about four or five of them together. And, you know, you just learn about what a good guy he was, man. I just, you know, really enjoyed him. So when things really start to go downhill for him, unfortunately, you know, his people called me. Well, first, Keenan Turner called me. Keenan was always that guy that invited me to his golf tournament, and that he would invite me up to the 49ers. I'd come up here and up to the Bay Area, so the 49ers could ridicule me all they wanted while I played golf. And we ended up just having a good time with those guys. And let's be real. I was always friends with Dwight Hicks.
Right.
Extremely good friends with Dwight Hicks. Mm-hmm. Very good friends with Eric Wright. And so I was always part of that 49er deal, whether I wanted to be or not, because the guys just really, you know, they really made me feel like they just feel part of the class. You know, we were all part of that 1981 class, which is an amazing defensive class.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We always celebrated that, man. We always did.
Hey, real quick, Everson, we got about 30 seconds left. That's a hell of a story.
It's
an awesome story. No,
Everson, you've been great.
It's awesome. I think our audience loves you even more now. Did you feel any vindication when the Giants won that NFC Championship game at the same stadium where that iconic catch play happened about a decade earlier?
Well, yeah, I did. I did eventually, but during that game, if you recall, I gave it up to John Taylor as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the only touchdown for the 49ers.
That's what they had. They had it on cue. The producers of the show, of the game, were like, okay, as soon as Everson gives up a play, we're going to run the catch again.
I'm like, okay. That's
so they had it set up. 9 years later, they were still haunting me with that catch. So, yes, that even made it feel even more so vindicated simply because of that. But let's be real, guys. That catch motivated me to be the player that I was because during that game, during that Super Bowl game, Bill Belichick put all his trust in me to call the plays for that squad, and he put me in that position during that Super Bowl game. And all of that really, I think, was a way for him to let me understand just how important I was to this team, to the New York Giants team. And during that entire game, guys, all I kept thinking during the Super Bowl was, they are not going to blame this shit on me.
And with that said, that's the perfect mic drop for Everson Walls.
So
you're
good.
A great sport, man.
Thank
you're
you,
a great
Everson.
Sport. We'll talk
guys,
to you soon.
Man. Call me anytime.
Absolutely.
So you got Niners winning, right? Niners winning over the Cowboys?
Yeah. I meant to say something. Go Cowboys.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Everson Walls. Real quick, our Xfinity Flex moment of the show. Hit it, Spadone.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, he does. He's very good at, you know, going the jar and standing behind his Twitter account. He had the opportunity to do something at the Star with me immediately at that game, and he didn't. So, whatever.
George Teague.
By Xfinity Flex.
George Teague.
Streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium. Free with Xfinity Internet.
George Teague on TO. I didn't realize that bite was long.
Xfinity Flex
moment of the day. We both step over that one.
My bad.
What amateurs we are here on the morning roast,
man. That was Spadone's fault.
Yeah, that was you know, you just got to be pro.
B, on the Everson Walls thing, what a great interview, number one. I love that he's leaned into it. Bill Buckner in hiding, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I get it because people just crushing him forever. But we forget how great Bill Buckner was. Everson Walls, like you look at the page and you look at his Wikipedia and whatnot.
Right.
And then you hear in the book, the Bill Belichick book that he wrote that I'm reading right now. He's the only DB that he let do an unorthodox fundamental style of play because he was so good at duping quarterbacks into interceptions. And yet most people, you say Everson Walls, dude, they got beat by Dwight Clark. No. He was so much better than that, and I love that he leans into it and the relationship him and Dwight had. How cool was that?
Yeah, he led the league in picks three times, and he let off a couple S-bombs, but it's all good. Willard and Dibbs, what's happening? Time for Crosstalk here on a Friday.
Man. Yeah, the show just changed. I had no idea. We could just say whatever the bleep we wanted.
Bombs.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
join us at 9:15. Dibs is going to teach you all kinds of new cuss words, kids and campers.
Yeah, four letters at a time, Mark. I'm coming strong with the four letters.
That was
exciting. The idea that he got beat on the play, on the catch, that really kind of bothers me because – yeah, and, you know, ESPN's got the, you got mossed, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're holding up the picture.
Yes.
You're talking about a 6'4" guy with decent to pretty good hops absolute full stretch catching the back of the football. Yeah, you got beat. Yeah. Go ahead, you know. That's just, that notion to me is ridiculous.
It reminds me of Iggy being immortalized as the guy who gets blocked by LeBron James. You know, these things
chase
happen.
Down block.
An elite play that's super random, that's just unbelievable athleticism and sport at its finest, and you're on the receiving end of this. It's like, oh, Iggy should have dunked it. It's like LeBron, the greatest chase down blocker of all time, did a LeBron thing.
I'm glad you got that out now, because 9 to noon, there will be no references to Andre Iguodala, sorry, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, or any of the other blue and gold ones. We're going to go and get we're going to give them amnesty, Bonte.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing such a great job in your pre and post.
Oh,
that,
man.
You know, you're living high with the highs, and you are living low with the lows.
Oh,
and I loved it last night, Mark. Let's go to Bonte with Warriors Halftime Live. Hey, how you doing, Bonte? And it's like, they're down by 100. So
I'm glad there was a Halftime Live. I was going to ask you if there was a post-game show last night, Bonte, because God love you, I was not there for it. That was the first time all year this team was so unwatchable. I'm like, what? I mean, my mom bought me a new wok for Christmas. I'm going to go bake some stir fry and turn the TV off and turn music on. I'm out.
Not to mention, you lost the bet yesterday and your bet of the day with the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, your boy was listening.
Oh.
I asked Mully, hey, you know, we do our keys to the second half. I start laughing. Hey, Mully, keys to the second half.
Are you door cashing donuts to Dibs today as we speak?
No, it's a three-week contest, and I'm actually in the cellar right now, but I loved your throw to Mully. You're like, hey, so Mully, second half keys to the game. Stay healthy? I mean, can we play zero guys and get away with it, you know?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
I was whining
in the middle of the game too, because if you were listening yesterday, Bonte, I got forced into that Warriors pick. I wanted to take Memphis.
You sounded so confident.
I wanted to take Memphis.
No.
I wanted to take Memphis.
Was like, give me the Bills 1.5.
Kyle took it.
And I'm sitting in the car thinking like, oh, boy, does he not know that Bobby Portis and Giannis are going to cook? Like,
So then where do you put that tonight? Now they're on the second half of a back-to-back with no Clay.
You know
and
what?
The Bulls are -4.
I know.
Should be a cupcake, right? Lay it in, Bonte. It should be a cupcake.
They moved up the start time, which kind of frustrates me. I was hoping to get an extra 30 minutes of nap time. So your boy's got to hustle to the crib. And then we got to get ready for Chi-Town.
Speaking of whining,
I'm just like, when I heard, hey, they scored 39 points in the first half, and the 39 point deficit, they scored 38 in the first half. The 39 point deficit is the worst deficit at halftime for the Warriors since they moved from Philadelphia in 62-63. It's like, well, what are we watching for? And let me say, though, that second half went by fast. Your boy was home by 8 o'clock.
Good.
It was like a running clock in football, right?
It did go by fast.
Yeah, it flew by.
It went so fast because I wasn't there. I was not there for the second half of this game.
I love that. It's a good reminder. I got my CYO opener tomorrow, and year 35 for your boy with the stripes.
That is so good.
I will be donning the stripes at some point today for the Twitch audience.
This is Marin County?
Yeah, I drew Corder Madera tomorrow. Cummins.
Cool.
Anybody who wants to come through, Neil Cummins. Although I'm being told
not allowed. Yeah, do not come through Neil Cummins.
Only two adults per player. And I was telling Mark yesterday off the air, if number 11 makes a bucket and more than two people go crazy and start taking pictures, I'm stopping the game and someone's got to go.
Dibs. My team's 4-0 right now. San Francisco's been open, but no fans in the gym. In the gym. It's actually refreshing. Honest to God, it's refreshing. The games are going by quicker.
Yeah.
There's nobody complaining or
three
arguing.
By the way,
you want to know who loves that the most? And I hate to make every parent out there, because I'm one of them, feel like this. You know who loves no fans in the stands the most?
Coaches.
The kids.
Yeah.
The kids absolutely love it. We used to do something on the soccer sidelines where one game per year, the whole league would say, we're going to try something. This is a no-talking game.
We parents, do the same. Like, with that. Silent
you
Saturday.
You are not allowed to speak, parents. And the kids come off after, and you can tell they don't want to look in your eye and tell you, but they're like, that was the best game of the year by far. Dad wasn't telling me all the things he knew. He wasn't yelling at me to work harder. Oh, it was just man. Like, shut up and let him play.
Pass it That's to Logan. Funny. Pass it to Logan. He's open.
Oh, my God.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGNZ. KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy Simplified. 9 a.m. hour. Brought to you by Timeless Coffee. Our great friends at Timeless Coffee. Willard and Dibs. Hey, some breaking news here. Debo Samuel and Trent Williams named first team All-Pro by the Associated Press of the 49ers. Big time.
Yes. Sam Monson, who is from Pro Football Focus, best Irish accent going in America currently right now, he's advocating for Trent Williams for Offensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
And I'm not a huge PFF guy, but I think it gives you a nice thumbnail sketch of, well, honestly, Mark, and I look at the numbers and I cite the numbers, and sometimes those of us who aren't former pro or college football players, it's like, how did Brunskill play? Unless you watch every snap and the all 22 watch him. Yeah. So it's kind of a good shortcut to see, you know, did they run the ball his way and did they do well? Yeah. And Trent Williams is the highest rated player in all of football. Aaron Donald's right there, but Aaron Donald can be DPOY, but Trent Williams can't be OPOY. Whatever.
It's interesting. That's a good way of putting it. All right, so let's get to the game this weekend, Bonte. What do you got? Give them your meat sandwich football breakdown on this game.
31-23, 49ers. Yes, they get into the end zone four times. They hold Cowboys. They bend but don't break against the Dallas Cowboys. Hold them to a few Greg Zuerlein field goals, and they come out victorious. Yes, I'm a homer. That's my pick. It probably will be tighter.
How much money you're going to be spending with your girl on the flight over there.
Oh, I don't even want to think
about
that.
What the accommodations are looking like.
I heard money, and it just went through one ear. It came out the other. I'm
but
not even looking
Chaz
at the credit card.
Baby Chaz flies for free, which is good. So you can bring the baby.
Hey, she's staying home with the grandparents, baby Chaz. Oh, and she actually slept till 6 a.m. today. So your boy got a full night of sleep. Thank you, baby Chaz. Now she's sitting on the bed watching Cocomelons. You can't tell her anything right now.
MVB, so. Most valuable baby right now. Baby Chaz.
Right
the
now.
Votes are pouring
right
in.
Now.
Yeah,
right
now.
Let's wait a couple hours
it's a
here.
Small sample. We've all been there, kid. We know. I mean, trust me.
How you guys feeling about this game, though? As you guys ignore the Warriors today, and I get it. I get it. We got about the way in the first block when nobody's listening. Yeah. First 25 minutes, nobody's listening. So you get about the way then.
It was the opener.
it was
the opener. And we yanked him right away. Three batters. Boom.
Totally.
They were Liam Hendricks from a few years ago.
Emmy Long.
I was feeling a lot better. But you know, it's always an emotional journey when you start thinking about a game on Monday. By the time you get to Friday, you go back and forth a bunch of times. I've been super confident all week until you get to the point, and we'll dive into this in a second. It's like, why? What is the nature of our confidence? This team has been good. I looked it up. They've been good 3 out of their last 10 quarters. But the most recent quarter was really, 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 really special. And so that's the nature of our confidence. Colin Cowherd tweeted out yesterday, I was all over the Niners, and everybody is, and now it's become too trendy. The Cowboys have been hearing that all week. I'm now worried about it. And you know what? I actually think there's something to it. No, there's something to it. I don't mean it because of
here's what
Colin's
it is,
opinion
Mark. It's
or whatever.
The 25 people scripting his show every single day.
No, I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about the fact that everybody thinks the Niners are going to win. Everybody thinks the Niners are going to win. And man, at a certain point, you're like, why does if it's that easy, why is the number going the other way? Why is it 3.5? Why are you underdogs if it's that easy?
Well, just stick and stay. And this is a reminder to all of us, to all of you as commentators. Go ahead and make a pick, have an opinion, but stay with it. Exactly. This is like reverse devil tongue and all the other poppycock. I'm not saying you are, but if you are a major voice like that, it's either A, make it about yourself, or B, cover your bases, or C, both. And now he has both covered, so it's either C, I told ya, or I had it right all along. Yeah. Miss me with that.
And don't forget, he did his NFL picks, his Blazing Five this year. He was like 38%, all right? So I'm not really trying to hear
your boy watches
picks
a lot of Coward
for this particular year, all right?
So I didn't realize I was picking a scab over right here. I was just like referencing a tweet. My God.
When you talk about Rome and Cowherd, they got like 25 people writing scripts for them. They're going to say things that are going to generate the clicks and whatnot. I've watched every snap of the year.
$25 million too, but that's
hey, look, successful. He's great at what he does, but let's call a spade a spade. I mean, Tom Cruise is acting. So is Colin Cowherd. I mean, why do you think he brings up Baker Mayfield every single day? So here's what I got. 27-24 49ers. The key matchup early on for me. I'm telling you, it's Tyron Smith versus Nick Bosa. Once they realize Bosa cannot be blocked one-on-one, they're going to have to shift protection. The Niners will be able to get pressure with four. Dak and the mobility or lack thereof is going to showcase itself. I think the Dallas Cowboys get down 10, fight their way back in. Niners hold on for dear life. I love George Kittle in this game.
There it is. There it is. Official predictions of the roast. Willard and Dibs, have a great one, man. Good weekend to you.
And give Guru
two
hell.
Fine gentlemen.
Come on, Bonte. Keep the Warriors within 20 tonight, okay?
Keep them within 20 tonight. Hey, all I'm looking at, Willard, 3:30 pregame, 4:30 tip, ESPN game, keep the commercials short, get me out of there by 7:30. That's all I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for tonight.
Fly safe, Bonte. We look forward to getting your live updates from Dallas. Big D.
Absolutely.
Niners.
Have a good one, guys. That's it for us. Have a great weekend, Roasters. Willard and Dibs next. Don't go anywhere, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.